the What True Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show.
Hi, Laura. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
So nice to meet you. So I'm so excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm an author of the novel, The Daydreams, as well as a few others. And I live in Washington, D.C. And I've always just been like a huge, huge reading nerd, starting from, the moment that I could read, but started writing a little bit later on because I got distracted by like theater and performing and thought that I wanted to be an actor for a while. But yeah, in the midst of all those auditions and everything, I was like, I think I need some creative outlet that I can control. So I started writing, and now I get to write books about, performers and use both worlds.
I love this. And I love the fact that you were able to incorporate, The Daydreams is like it's a TV show, it's acting, it's an art, it has all the different things that probably you grew up with and you experienced, and you're like now like being able to like putting it into paper, into a story,
Yeah. I will say the research process for it was very fun because so much of it was just like going down nostalgia lane, like I was a preteen or a teenager at this time. What was I obsessed with? Let me, listen to that music over and over again and claim that I'm doing very important research for my book.
It just sounds like fun research because I'm like, imagine like, I grew up in like watching the Lizzie McGuire's and the Hannah Montana's and all those different things. Hannah Montana's came afterwards, but it's the whole idea of watching those Disney Channel, programming and then seeing like, hey, imagine what happens afterwards. It's like, it's supposed to be a really good question because we've seen some of them who have gone through different areas, their different path in life, whether it's like, completely leaving Hollywood behind to basically, being half and half. Being an influencer or just being like, let me just do a singing career or some sort of other thing,
Yeah. And that's totally what made me interested in writing this book. So The Daydreams is about the stars of this early 2000s TV show who at the height of their fame implode on live TV in a very scandalous way that totally like ruins the show. And so they all go in very different directions and the book catches up with them 13 years later when they're being forced to come back for a reunion special. And I was like, looking at the paths of so many of these people who I had grown up with and loved and just been like, wow, so for some of them, it was really hard having that spotlight at such a young age. And like, what would it be like being, forced back into that spotlight years later and given a potential chance for redemption, but also, a chance for all of your old demons to resurface and feel all that pressure again.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you have like four different archetypes. You have the Hollywood star, you have the one who's like the train wreck, quote unquote. You have the influencer, and you have the one who is like, I'm just going to go become a lawyer. Like go completely opposite. Like, I'm just going to become a lawyer.
Right. Screw being a movie star. I'll just work on mergers and acquisitions because that seems a little safer.
Yeah. And so what was the process of writing this novel? Because you wrote like past and present. And so there's a method to the madness. There's like a magic that happens because you kind of want to have those timelines to converge, but they have to make sense of them. So what was your process? Or did you plot it out? Did you pants your way? And you're like, okay, I think these are the major highlights that I want to highlight and then just, unravel.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between a plotter and a pantser, I think. Like, I become more and more of a plotter as I grow as a writer. So for this one, I think I had like a 2 to 3 page outline of the major beats of the story. And I knew like roughly what happened in the past and roughly what was going to happen in the present. And then it was the process of interweaving them in a way that made sense. But definitely, I had to do a lot of work in like the second draft in particular, because the first draft of it was still very messy. And it felt a little bit like I was just kind of killing time in the present, as I unveiled the secrets of the past. And so second draft, I had to be like, no, how do I make the present, at least the beginning of the present day, just as interesting? I feel like the end of the present day, you know, everything's going wild.
Oh, this is so fascinating. I love the fact that, like, because I'm always curious when I see dual timelines, I'm like, how do they do it? Like a process, because there's a method of madness, but it's like, how do you write one story first and you write the second story? Do you intermingle with it? You know, and so I'm like, this is great to hear that you're like, you know, I wrote the first one just kind of like just a first draft passed through, just starting to uncover things. And then the second one is to revise it and to make sense of it all.
100%. Because you're inevitably going to write some stuff in the past that you don't need, right? And you can get rid of. But you have to, I don't know. I envy the authors who have it all plotted out beforehand and are like, I've wasted no space, wasted no words. I don't have to delete anything or add anything. I'm perfect. But that's not me.
No, I don't think that's most authors are not that.
I know. I'm like, who actually is this elusive author that I'm talking about? Yeah. No one.
So you mentioned that you're always a lifelong reader. What kind of books did you gravitate when you were growing up, and which ones do you now read that you now go for?
Yeah. When I was growing up, I mean, I loved a good plucky heroine, you know, like some young woman who also loved to read and spoke her mind. And so I was really into stuff like Little Women or Ella Enchanted was a big one for me too. I also just loved fun YA rom-coms. Mm-hmm. Like The Princess Diaries was such a big one for me. Or Sloppy Firsts also. Yeah. Oh, remember Sloppy Firsts.
So good.
Amazing. Yeah. It's like she's this kind of snarky high school girl in New Jersey dealing with life and love. And I loved that so much. And I still love to read that sort of stuff, like rom-coms with interesting heroines. But I will say that my tastes have probably branched out a little bit more. I love a good thriller as well. And, you know, I think my favorite genre is like the in-between commercial and super literary. So I guess you would call it like the upmarket. Like Taylor Jenkins Reid or Gabrielle Zevin's Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow was a huge favorite of the last year. I could list book recommendations all day, but
let's talk about book recommendations. You have, other than Tomorrow, which is an excellent recommendation, you have another books to recommend your listeners to pick up.
Yeah. So recently I really loved Adelaide by Genevieve Wheeler. It's this beautiful, I guess you could call it a love story, but it feels more like a self-discovery story of a woman in her 20s. I think we all have had a friend like Adelaide, or have had our Adelaide moments where we're just like so into someone who just doesn't like us quite as much. And it's just like not ready for what we're trying to offer. And so it's so relatable and it's beautifully written. I also recently loved How Not to Drown in a Glass of Water. Yeah, it's so good. I think it's by Angie Cruz. I'm like, let me double check this. by Angie Cruz. So it's about this older woman who gets fired from her job, and she is doing this like retraining program with the government to try to figure out like what is her next move. And so the book takes place as a series of interviews with her and her caseworker. So it's basically just like her talking to this woman who's supposed to help her figure out her next career move, which sounds kind of dry, but she's such a like vital, fascinating character. And you know, she starts talking about the job, but then it branches out into just her whole life and everything that she's dealing with. And so it's funny at times and also heartbreaking at others. And I really recommend that one.
Yes, I am adding that one to my TBR for sure. As someone who has changed careers and changed life, it's an interesting path. And you know, to look at literature to see like it's beyond of your job, beyond like what's happening. And so,
yeah.
I love this. And Adelaide, I really loved it. It just reminded me of life in your 20s when there is like you're going through relationship, your friendships, you're trying to figure out who you are in work life and just making it work. And then you have all these untreated trauma that you're kind of like, it comes to blows and you're just like, oh crap, I hit bottom. And now I have to deal with it, you know? It's a beautiful story. I think it's a beautiful reminder that no matter how traumatic things are, you can get through it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So Laura, tell us where you can find you online.
Yeah, my website is laurahankin.com. But then I'm also pretty active on Instagram at Laura Hankin. I'd say that's currently my most active social media platform, but I try to be responsive to messages and stuff there. And then also I'm doing more TikTok. So yeah, you know, sometimes it's embarrassing and sometimes it's fun.
Love this. Thank you, Laura, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.